Hey, welcome in. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. My buddy Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, is helping me out. We are going to chat about a couple of things. We're going to talk about a company that Mickey and I are both involved in. It's a company called Amarillo Gold. But before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about South America, the environment down there for mining, and specifically, we're going to talk about Brazil. Brazil is an area I know very, very little about, but Mickey has been there numerous times. I have some listeners who are saying, we don't know much about Brazil. We don't know if that's a safe place to be. You know, could it perhaps turn into a Venezuela, etc.? I don't think so, but I have not spent any time there. I've spent time in Chile, I've spent time in Argentina, but I have not spent time in Brazil. Mickey, you have. What's the environment down there for international companies?
Well, I think it's very good. Now, I'll tell you, I spent 2 weeks in Brazil in October, and that was actually my first trip ever to Brazil. So it was a new country for me. I was very impressed after I got traveled throughout the country from one end to the other, with the exception of the southwest part of the country, lots of planes and automobiles. But it is very obvious to me why it is the B and the BRIC countries. It's the fifth largest country in the world, the fifth largest population. It's very businesslike. There is a burgeoning middle class. I dare say that the average car on the road in the cities is nicer than what I see in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It looks to me like Brazil is open for business. That said, it is known to be very bureaucratic and somewhat a litigious society. So if there's any negatives, I would say those are the negatives. But all in all, it is very receptive to foreign investment, especially in the mining industry, has low royalties, reasonable tax rate. You can take your profits out of the country. So everything that the business world wants to see, especially the mining industry, is set up in Brazil.
South America has kind of mixed reputation. You know, people are scared to death right now. Americans, anyway, are scared to death right now about the situation in Venezuela with Chavez. And there, I think there's some there's a lot of foundation for that, to say the least, right now. But other parts of South America, I found, I mean, for example, when I first met you, Mick, down in Chile, I guess that was 6 or 7 years ago, you know, we had the opportunity to chat with some people in both Santiago and in a couple of the outlying cities, Viña del Mar, and they basically were people of substance, and they were people who said, you know, our government realizes how important the rest of the world is to us, and our government is going to do nothing to justify that. You don't get to be as large, as rapidly growing, I guess I should say, an economy as Brazil if you don't have that same attitude, because you simply cannot grow without outside assistance, right?
Well, that's true, and there's plenty of foreign investment, both from Asia and North America and Europe in Brazil. It's a melting pot of cultures, and, you know, South America, you go country by country, and they just had an election, and the past president, Lula's pick was Dilma, and she won, and so we would expect the pro-business, slightly left-of-center government that Brazil has had for the last 8 years as a stable democracy to continue.
Mickey, a company that you and I are both involved in the interest of full disclosure, I need to say that the company is Amarillo Gold, and the gentleman who I work with there with is Buddy Doyle, who's the president and chief executive officer. Amarillo Gold is a sponsor of our website, number one. Number two, we did shoot a video with Mr. Doyle, and that is available for viewing on YouTube and on our website and other websites, I'm sure the company website. So I have to say that I am not what you would call exactly a disinterested party in this one. I like Buddy a lot. I like the company a lot. And as Bob Moriarty says, I'm highly prejudiced, so don't take what I have to say as investment advice. Mick, do you have any involvement with Amarillo?
I am heavily biased, probably more so than you are. I am a founding shareholder of Amarillo Gold from an RTO in December of 2003. I am a shareholder. They also cover or sponsor my website. So Yeah, I have a very strong vested interest in seeing this company prosper.
Well, then let's say this to our listeners so we're being very, very clear on this. Don't take this as investment advice. Neither Mickey nor I are registered investment advisors. This is a company that we elected to get involved in for personal reasons. And if you want more information, if you like, you know, what we have to say and you want to take more information on your own, just simply click on the Amarillo banner on our website. And I bet you the Mercenary Geologist has one on his website also. Now, to start out this little introduction to Amarillo Gold, I didn't realize until meeting with Buddy last week that he had a very, very illustrious career with Rio Tinto. 23 years with a company, did very, very well for himself and for the company, and then decided to strike out on his own. And Amarillo Gold is that first step, correct?
That's correct. Buddy was recruited to Amarillo Gold. Another key player is Rick Brown, and Rick is one of the founding shareholders and was the one responsible for the original project, which now a gold project and going into pre-feasibility right now. So a couple of good, hard-working, honest Aussie geos, yeah, that I've known for 7 years now, and very impressed with the people and the projects and the share structure, too.
Well, let's talk about the projects, Mickey. You've been there. I haven't.
Well, yes, I was there in October, finally, after several years of trying to get down there. They have two flagship gold projects, one in the central Savannah called Mara Rosa, one near the Uruguay border called Lavras do Sol. Combined in all categories, this would be indicated and inferred resources, combined at 0.3 grams per ton cutoff, about 1.7 million ounces total between the two projects, and both will grow, in my opinion. If you do the math on that, with the current market cap, that's about $35 an ounce, which is extremely undervalued when compared to its peers.
Yeah. Another thing that I like, I mean, it's all, in my opinion, it's all about management, capital, and the asset itself. And so capital certainly does fall in the category of being an asset, but, you know, I make a delineation between the property and capital. But from a capital standpoint, they're in pretty good shape. Chatting with Buddy and looking, going over their financial statements, they've got about $4.2 million in cash right now. They have absolutely no need to go to the market for funding. All of their capital has historically been raised internally between management and shareholders. That's good because in terms of the financings, well, it's good and bad. It's good in the sense that in terms of the financings, you know, there are no warrants typically attached, and so dilution is kept to really to a minimum. And on the other hand, you know, people who are truly interested in the company are funding it as opposed to people who are just looking to make a quick profit in the stock. You know, the negative aspect of that is it's pretty tough to get brokerage support, retail support, if a retail brokerage firm doesn't have, you know, a financial stake in the company. Comments on that?
Well, it's a two-edged sword. They have done very well with their financings. At this stage, they have 56 million shares out, and yet in a 2.5 million or so options with insiders, so fully diluted, say 58.5 million. There are no warrants. It's very tightly held, and that's both good and bad. If you add up the insiders, the institutional and strategic investors, the high net worths, and the family and friends, you're coming up with something on the order of 80% is held right there. So the retail float is only 20%. That has led to low liquidity and is probably one of the reasons that the company is so sorely undervalued when compared to its peers. You know, probably $90 per ounce in the ground is about the peer comparison right now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to realize one of the reasons that has been the case is these are technical guys, and they have chosen to take that route in the interest of advancing the property itself. They are now, you know, through your efforts, my efforts, and their efforts, going out and telling the story. So I personally think it's a good time to take a hard, hard look at this company. Mickey, always a pleasure. Listen, you guys, if you want to find out more about Mick, just click on the banner on our website for the Mercenary Geologist. Mickey's got a good site. He certainly has my respect. Take a look and see if you don't agree with me. Big Al's going to be back with you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.